Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and joined by James Forsyth and David Shields, policy analyst at Open Europe. So Theresa May is in Northern Ireland on a trip where she's there to reconfirm her commitment to the people of Northern Ireland on Brexit and to talk a little bit about the backstop. James, what can we really expect here? Because Theresa May doesn't seem to actually know what's going on with the backstop right now, does she?
Yes, I mean, this is the challenge, which is she's trying to walk this line, which is she previously had tried to say that the backstop was part of the UK's guarantee to Northern Ireland, to the people of Northern Ireland, and to an open border and to the Good Friday Agreement. She's now trying to change the backstop. So how does she politically play that in Northern Ireland? I think you'll see from the release of, from the extract we've seen from her speech, I think she'll try and sound very consensual. And I think it will sound more like changes to the backstop rather than the removal of the backstop wholesale. And I think this is, but she is obviously walking this political tightrope because, you know, at one point they, Number 10 believe that the fact that the backstop they thought was popular in Northern Ireland with farmers and businesses would give them some leverage over the DUP. They obviously now change position. But I think it is worth noting that Arlene Foster, the leader of the DUP, was in a very kind of emollient place on the Today programme this morning. She wasn't talking about ripping up the backstop in its entirety. She was talking about legally binding changes to it. So I think that's the place you'll see Theresa May today rather than emphasising the kind of Malthouse compromise or anything like that.
Now, David, we know the DUP are not fond of the backstop. When Theresa May is making her pitch, what are the mix of views on the backstop in Northern Ireland when it comes to the various parties and actually just the mood in terms of the country?
Well, it's said that a majority of people in Northern Ireland support the backstop, but the DUP, of course, are quite opposed to it because they object to it on constitutional grounds, on the possibility that if it continues into the longer term, that it creates barriers between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So there is they have a problem with the backstop. And obviously they feel that they, as the democratically elected representatives of their constituents, are better able to judge the opinion of grassroots unionists and voters in Northern Ireland than people at Westminster or in the EU or in Brussels. So they obviously get a little bit irritated when people say, well, a majority of people support it and you're out of step with majority opinion in Northern Ireland. And there's also the fact that Sinn Féin, of course, a pro-Remain party, a nationalist party, don't take their seats in the House of Commons, so they aren't there to represent the views of their constituents in the House of Commons. So there is that seeming imbalance between the two opinions in Northern Ireland on this issue.
James, when it comes to the alternatives to the backstop, we obviously have been hearing about the Malthouse compromise, which seeks to have an alternative backstop, which seems to consist of a free trade agreement with technology on the border. Do you think that's something that the DUP think has a realistic chance of passing? Or do you think the fact that Arlene Foster's been quite careful about what she said this morning suggests that they are perhaps thinking that they're going to get something smaller than that in the end?
I thought it was telling that Arlene Foster didn't set the bar too high for Theresa May today. I think there is a view, which might be wrong, there is the current view in Westminster is that the DUP are looking for a deal. It is. There are some people in the DUP who think that no deal would ultimately kind of cement Northern Ireland's status in the kind of UK economic sphere and therefore ultimately be good for union. There are other people in the DUP, and I think Arlene Foster leans more towards them, who worry that the dangers of no deal is that it does lead to some kind of hard border on the island of Ireland, and that undermines support for the union ultimately. A lot of their worries, a lot of middle class people, particularly middle class Catholics, who are quite accepting of the union at the moment, would feel differently in the event of a hard border. So I think there are beginning to be some signs that the DUP are, obviously, if the constitutional issues that David mentioned could be addressed, or they could be reassured that the backstop was not forever, which I think is really what it comes down to. You know, but the DUP are beginning to look for a deal.
And David, when it comes to the various hard border situations that we've heard about in recent months, one of the things that the Brexiteers certainly feel that they see in Brussels' positions and perhaps the Republic of Ireland's is some contradictions. So this idea that there's not going to be a hard border in any case, but at the same time, the UK has to agree to the backstop in order to avoid a hard border. And we have seen, I think, in the past few weeks, some statements which appear to be a bit contradictory. We saw some rowbacks from the European Commission side on what would happen in the event of a no deal. What do you think the position is that most accurately reflects what would probably happen on the Brussels side in the event of no deal?
Well, it seems at the moment that the EU would insist on having border checks. That is obviously the logic of their position. And the whole premise of having a backstop relies on that argument that the EU would insist on border checks between North and South if the UK and the EU had diverged on trade policy in the future. That is the basis of having a backstop. But the Irish government has always been careful never to say that, for domestic political reasons, because it would be very complicated to say that the EU would force us to have a hard border in those circumstances, and also because it's just something that they don't want to contemplate politically in Dublin. So they've always said that even in a no-deal situation, there wouldn't be a hard border, which is difficult, obviously, to square with the argument of having a backstop. So the argument has been going around a bit in circles recently, and that has been quite problematic from the Irish government's point of view.
And James, how much pressure do you think Leo Varadkar is under, both on a domestic level but also from other EU member states? Because we have heard that there are some, and we've seen comments from Angela Merkel, which seem a little bit sympathetic to the UK's argument here on the backstop, and that there could be some movement. Do you think that Ireland is going to come under pressure to soften its position?
I think one of the remarkable things about this process so far is how the Irish have managed to keep the EU united behind them. You know, we've had that one sally from the Polish foreign minister on the backstop, and that's about it. I think where the dynamic changes is if the government defeats the Cooper Amendment again when it comes back on Valentine's Day and no deal becomes a real possibility, then I think that you will have more countries beginning to sotto voce point out the inherent contradiction in the backstop. The argument of the backstop is needed to prevent a hard border on the island of Ireland, which the Irish government say is unacceptable. But if the backstop was to be what caused no deal, it would be self-defeating. And I think that is the tension in the argument. And I think that is one of the things that will come out. I think in terms of one of the things that is undoubtedly making the situation more difficult is that both Leo Varadkar and Theresa May are in very difficult domestic political situations. You know, Leo Varadkar is reliant on a deal with the main opposition party, essentially, to have a kind of consensus that allows him to govern. And he obviously doesn't want to have to kind of retreat on what his signature policy is, in both in terms of substance and tone on the backstop.
The other Irish brother Theresa May currently has is in the form of a court case that we're expecting from former Northern Irish First Minister David Trimble, who is taking Britain to court over the backstop plan, which he says breaches the Good Friday Agreement. Do you see this going places?
Well, it's difficult to say whether there is a legal case, whether it is possible that it would be successful. I think the significant thing is that it is David Trimble who is the key figure for this, as a former Ulster Unionist Party leader, a former First Minister, someone who was involved in 1998 in negotiating the Good Friday Agreement. The fact that he is associating himself with this and coming out and saying that the withdrawal agreement contradicts the Good Friday Agreement, the backstop contradicts the Good Friday Agreement, that is a politically significant thing, and that focuses minds so that people who say it's just the DUP who are opposed to the backstop, or that they're in a minority position, or they're taking a very hard line position, that argument is undercut by the fact that David Trimble is associated with this. I'm reminded a little bit of the legal challenge that unionists launched in the 1980s to the Anglo-Irish agreement, which was negotiated by Margaret Thatcher, and they challenged that in the Irish courts on the grounds that it was unconstitutional, contradicted the Irish constitutional claim over Northern Ireland. That actually in the end didn't go anywhere, but I think the point was that it highlighted the issue, it highlighted unionist concerns, and the Anglo-Irish agreement wasn't judged to be unconstitutional, but in the end, in the longer term, it wasn't actually sustainable.
Do you think this puts political pressure on the government over its position?
I think it does, because as David said, it's very hard to dismiss David Trimble. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his work on the Good Friday Agreement. I also think that there are, and David has written about this, there is also an odd issue here in the way in which the backstop works, which is we are told that the backstop is necessary to kind of maintain the peace created by the Good Friday Agreement. But there is a very limited role, if any role, for the institutions created by the Good Friday Agreement in the backstop. I mean, that is part of the problem. Now, you know, the UK could choose to send someone from the Northern Ireland Assembly as the representative to a joint committee. But I think there is an issue here, which is, I think the DUP, one of the reasons they didn't break off the confidence and supply agreement in the government over the joint report was that the joint report, back the first time that kind of the backstop came into being, had a much clearer, a much more explicit role for the institutions in Northern Ireland in determining how this backstop would work.
And finally, we know that Theresa May will be heading back to Brussels at the end of the week, where she'll be holding a meeting with Juncker. James, what can we expect from this? Is this going to be where she retrieves a golden concession and then gets her deal through?
No, I don't think anything is coming. I mean, not to sound like a broken record, I don't think you're going to see anything substantial until both sides know what's happened with the Cooper Amendment, essentially. You know,
which is returning next week.
Which is returning on Valentine's Day. I think it is interesting that she is going to see Jean-Claude Juncker rather than Donald Tusk. There is a feeling in government that Juncker is more, is keener on doing a deal, finding a way to do this, that Juncker sees this as part of his legacy, and is more in deal-making mode than Donald Tusk is at the moment, who is more kind of, you know, you guys signed off on this deal, what's going on? I mean, there is a problem for Theresa May, which is, you know, someone said to me she wasn't going to go last week, she was waiting for the anger to subside in Brussels. I think it will take a little bit longer for that anger to wind down. I find it hard to see what she's going to get on Thursday. And in a way, I think you could make a case for saying there's not much point in going until we know what the result of this vote on the Cooper Amendment is.
Thank you, James. Thank you, David. And we have a new offer. If you subscribe to the magazine, 12 weeks or £12, you now get a free Aspinall cardholder, which is Spectator branded, and it's worth £60, apparently. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Aspinall.